The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Love is a burning thing.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're back after a pretty long hiatus.
We are. It's good to be back.
Yeah, welcome to 2019.
Oh, my goodness. We've been on for over a year now.
Yeah, we were a year in October. But
that's exciting.
Over a year, but, I mean, just, you want me to blow your mind right now?
Sure.
The last year of the 1990s is 20 years ago.
No. The first year of the 90s was like 10 years ago.
No.
Because, like, 10 years ago was 1990.
No, see, that's the common misconception.
What?
As it turns out, the 1990s ended 20 years ago.
I feel old.
Yeah, I know. But, so new year, new show.
That's right.
Yeah, we took the holidays off.
We did, and it was nice.
Yeah. We watched some stuff, and which is kind of the fun premise of this week's show. It is, I like to play some music that kind of coincides or at least references.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is the longest running thing that we've had on the show?
I believe it involves Mr. Kevin Shoemaker.
Hi.
It does. And Kevin Shoemaker is in the studio. So he already said hi, but go ahead and say hi again.
Hi, everybody. I intruded, as I am prone to do.
And the long running thing is that I have never seen the Lord of the Rings movies, and for the last 8 years, Kevin has been wanting me to watch the Lord of the Rings movies. So for Christmas, I gave him my copies of the Blu-rays, mm-hmm. and told him that he doesn't get to keep those. Those are because I'm going to watch it with him during the Christmas holiday, and I did.
He did.
So we have now a whole topic to talk about today.
Yes.
And in studio with us also is Isaac Hines.
Hello.
Now, he's in because we were getting a commercial recorded for our show. We are in a local community theater production of the Somewhat True Tales of Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm. Running at Riverfront Playhouse, opening January 19th. Everybody should go. Head on over to riverfrontplayhouse.net for your ticket.
Give him a huzzah.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, huzzah!
There you go.
And we will actually. That's what our topic will be next week.
That's right. All the Robin Hoods.
We have watched the Robin Hood movies in preparation for this show, and so that will be next week's show.
That's right. So I am actually going to let the boys here geek out a little bit over Lord of the Rings. I did not partake in the Christmas watching because I had to work. So while I have seen them, it has been far too long for me to have much discussion. So it's going to be an all-boys ring. No, that doesn't sound
good. Yeah, just stop.
No girls allowed.
But what are us girls going to talk about?
Good point.
Okay.
So you boys have fun.
Oh, thank you. So just tell everyone bye. That was a really easy setup for you, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was a nice little exit. So I will see everyone next week.
Okay.
And you guys have fun with the Hobbitses.
Farewell.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
All right, guys. We have an hour to talk about Lord of the Rings. Well, you got like 25 minutes or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So So I guess we'll start with the first one. And we'll kind of break this up because we get three breaks.
Or
yes. Three segments. So let's start with the first one.
Absolutely. Did you want to start with the story behind how Lord of the Rings came between us?
That's fine, but why are you saying like Buzz Killington on Family Guy? Would you like to hear about the story behind it?
About a bridge.
I don't know. Maybe I just feel particularly evil today.
Okay, yeah. Please do. Enlighten us all.
So a number of years ago, you and I were both in a stage production of MASH.
Yes.
And the setup for that show was such that the backstage was in a different building than the actual production.
Yeah, it was at a school, and so the auditorium was not connected to where we kept the green room, which was the gymnasium. So you had to go across a yard to get from one place to the other. And the only reason why we knew our cues was because they had TV monitors set up with cameras on the stage so we could monitor what was going on.
Yes. And we were in the green room, i.e. the gymnasium.
And I will preface this, that when telling the story, you will need to edit yourself.
Obviously. I am well aware. So we're in the green room. We're having a conversation. I don't even remember what the conversation was about. All I remember was that you said, I have never seen the Lord of the Rings movies, which, given that I was young and a fanboy, I immediately launched into a tirade as to why you should watch these movies. They're so amazing. They're so good. And I hear my cue coming from the TV, where I'm already supposed to be backstage, ready to jump on the set. And
you and I lock eyes.
We lock
in
eyes.
In shock.
And I scream at the top of my lungs and run out the building as fast as I can. Everyone turns and looks and doesn't see me. They just see an open door.
And all I just saw pretty much like the Scooby-Doo smoke rings, you know? Like, and all I heard was, oh, four-letter word.
It was definitely an intense moment, but I was able to make my cue, and it was a wonderful story for all of us to remember, just the entire...
And that was the exact reason, and that conversation, which happened over 8 years ago, it was in the end of October of 2010, so over 8 years ago, was, you need to watch those.
Yes, and it's been that way every day for the last 8 years.
Yes.
Until, finally, this Christmas, you gave me the best gift of all, which is... quality time, sitting down and watching the experience that is the Lord of the Rings.
So, what is your first Lord of the Rings experience, there, Isaac?
Okay, so my father pretty much taught us the religion of Lord of the Rings,
And
that's why I feel for you so badly. And I was raised on the Ralph Bakshi animated one first.
Oh,
I got
my goodness!
A nice, healthy fear of black riders in that animation. It was
such
horrifying.
A weird experience.
It's so weird, but it's so good.
I love the song when the orcs are leaving Mordor.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a whip, there's a way.
It is. I have no clue what they're talking about.
we'll clue you in at some point. It's really a completely different experience.
I'll be sure to watch these in 8 years.
But a fun tidbit: that first Ralph Bakshi animated movie, if you watch it, there's a bunch of stuff in there that's directly from the Peter Jackson one. You can tell he's a fan of that animated version.
Oh, yeah.
Visual stuff that he puts in there quite a bit. So
very much so.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Lord of the Rings, let's get into, like you said there, Chris, let's start with the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Arguably the best.
Really? Okay, I'm going to argue right now. I really felt that they got better each movie. Like, I personally loved the third one the best. And I think it's because I liked that. There's just felt like there's more action and more things going on with that one. And it has – so we talked about this, and it has – so it has my favorite scene. It has – which we'll get into later. But, it's got my favorite scene – best character is throughout the whole movie, but my opinion, Samwise Gamgee, best character.
Extremely popular choice. Yeah. Noted Tolkien fan Stephen Colbert is also his favorite character.
Yeah, because that guy was pimp. Like, seriously. Like everyone's like, oh, Frodo. I'm like, no, he was a whiny little dude right there, and it's not the word I used, but again, raise it.
Controversial to say, film's best gardener?
No.
I think he would be on number one.
I can't even begin to think of another gardener.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he takes it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Frodo the whole way was like, oh, I've got this ring. It's my burden. But, he just kept collapsing and just falling under the power of the ring. And Samwise is like, we're going. And he's just like, I saw him as a military leader. He's just like, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah, going back to arguably being the best one, I think it definitely has the best score. I think that's where Howard Shore, the composer, gets so much right so quickly, mm-hmm. and just throughout the entire movie, his leitmotifs are fantastic. But I also agree with Chris that my personal favorite is the third one, almost entirely because of a few scenes that we'll talk about when we get to that third movie. But going into the first movie, what were your general impressions while watching it, Chris? Because I know that I could talk for hours about
right.
it, but I'm very interested in knowing what you, as someone who had no interest in seeing these movies.
Well, I love that at the very end you're like, all right, what do you think? And don't sugarcoat it, because I will respect you less if you pander to me. And I'm like, no,
100% true.
And I said, the genre is not really my cup of tea. It's just not. But I can see why people love them so much. They're beautifully filmed. They're well written. And they're well acted. I mean, there's not a stinker in the bunch. It's not like one of the Twilight movies or something where they're like, oh, we gotta just cast someone in particular that all these girls are gonna like. No, it was just like, no, we need the right people for each role, and you could totally tell that it was. Mm-hmm. And it just, they're long, and we didn't even watch the extended editions.
No.
But I enjoyed it. There's this thing that we've said on the show that Jen and I came up with this, reasoning on how I like things, and I realized that I'm not a big fan of genres if it's got dragons and no indoor plumbing. And this holds up all the time. Like we've done this because I'm initiating Isaac into this, but like if animated movies don't count because they just kind of don't, but like any other movie, like How to Train Your Dragon,
sure,
that one I love, but I don't think they have indoor plumbing. They don't really cover it.
Uh-huh.
But like Harry Potter has dragons in that world.
Uh-huh.
But they also have indoor plumbing.
Sure.
So we're fine. And if there's things that don't have indoor plumbing, as long as they don't have dragons in them in that world, we're fine. And so this one, no indoor plumbing, dragons, not so much.
So
you can only watch the first season of Game of Thrones.
I haven't watched that. I haven't been interested in that. So
no dragons in the first season.
Okay.
So is this like a specific feature that you have that you look for, or is this just causation and correlation?
I believe the second, but okay. Like, but we've tried this and we're like, oh yeah, they're like, ah, it's got dragons in it, and we're like, yeah, but it's got indoor plumbing. Like the movie Enchanted has a dragon.
Uh-huh.
Indoor plumbing, because he lives in a New York apartment.
Uh-huh.
Like, stuff along those lines. If you can come up with a movie that has a dragon, I can automatically tell you whether I'd probably like it or not, thus if it has indoor plumbing.
Yeah. I am now going to do my homework, and I am going to find movies that break this.
So, good example, Princess Bride. Love that movie. Probably no indoor plumbing. No dragons.
I mean, is there a lore master for Princess Bride out there somewhere that can see if there's a dragon?
Right.
I mean, I haven't read the book, but...
Rodents of unusual size? They never mention dragon. I have read the book, and they don't.
Oh.
I've read the book, and by the way, the book is amazing, and it doesn't take away from the movie. Like, usually you'll read the book and you go, oh, you know, the movie sucks because it didn't have this, didn't have that. No. Everything that is in the movie is in the book. All it adds more is more backstory. So you find out about Fezzik during his time in Greenland when he was fighting multiple people at once. And all the things they mention. You find out about Inigo Montoya's father, all those things.
Speaking of taking away from things, about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Having watched these movies, my first question for you is, because you weren't ever interested at the time,
yes.
Dragons and indoor plumbing notwithstanding, are you glad that you have now watched them?
Yes, because and this is kind of one of the things Jen says about certain stuff that I've shown her.
Mm-hmm.
It's, now I get a lot of references and other things.
Yes. Yes, it definitely paved the way in the sort of social landscape when those movies came out. My second question for you is, now that you've watched these movies, do you have any interest in reading or listening to the books on audiobooks?
Probably not.
That's fair.
I would be interested in maybe watching the Hobbit movies, even though you said they're not very good. They're not so, but I'd be interested in continuing the story. I'd want to see The Hobbit maybe to see how they got to The Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
Sort of like the same reason why people will watch the first the prequel Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. They're not great, but people will still watch them to see how they get to the other parts.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So what about that first movie, going back to just The Fellowship of the Ring? What did you like? What did you not like?
Okay,
aside from indoor plumbing.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to rib you on this some
more. The theory holds up, and we will discuss this at length later.
For sure.
But I liked the forming of the Fellowship of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
That felt just kind of cool. So the one guy who is I didn't. I'm terrible with names on regular. Like I meet people.
Sure.
So I'm going to be using like.
Yeah, so once you get into fantasy names where there's apostrophes involved, everything goes out the window.
Yeah, Viggo Mortensen's character.
Aragorn.
He's great. His brother was in there, right? And he was only in the first one.
You are now slightly mixing things up.
Okay.
Aragorn does not have a brother. There is a character by the name of Boromir.
Yes, that's
who is Sean Bean.
Yes.
And Boromir has a brother who shows up in the later movies.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
But I can totally see where you're coming from.
Thank you. Yes. But yes, obviously you knew what I was talking about. So it was interesting that he was starting to get swayed and seduced by the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting, too. So I'll be honest, it was during the holidays, so I was really tired. And there's a couple times where, you know, my brain was shutting off. But I got the most parts. Again, 3 was the one I was, like, super into.
Right.
I just find it interesting, like, talking about, like Liv Tyler, who was great.
Mm-hmm.
And Cate Blanchett, like all of them, like I said, I think the acting is what really got me because they're really good. It was nice to see Hugo Weaving.
Right? Yes.
As a good guy.
Yes.
Like I was just, for 3 movies, I was just waiting for
Elrond.
Yeah, that's right. It's not like Elrond Hubbard.
Yes.
So I was waiting for Elrond to just backstab everybody.
He definitely plays a great turncoat, but
yeah.
In this one, he's very straight-faced.
I'm like, it's Megatron. It's Red Skull.
I mean, to be fair, it starts with him telling a story about how he was betrayed. So you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, he's gonna turn on somebody.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Fortunately for the world of Middle Earth, that is not the case.
Yeah. He went more V for Vendetta than he did Red Skull.
Yes, but we did have the wonderful Christopher Lee as the sort of traitor role.
Yeah.
As Saruman the White.
Yeah. He was. I didn't like him.
Like, as a performance or a character? Because
character.
I don't think you're supposed to.
Yeah.
He's definitely not a good guy.
Well, I would say there's a lot about his character that's lost in not knowing the books.
He's the most boring evil ever. Like, he's just like, I am not on your side. Done.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that happen in the books that don't happen in the films. Like, one of the big ones, the sort of final bit of the books is called The Scouring of the Shire, where Saruman takes his remaining forces from after the trees come and wipe out everybody. He takes them and he invades the Shire, and he takes it over and enslaves all the hobbits. And then it comes to, is it the 4? Is it Frodo, Sam, Merry, and Pippin, or is it just a different company? It's the 4 of them who defeat Saruman and free their homeland.
Mm-hmm.
See, what I like best, it's the same. This Lord of the Rings is the same way I kind of feel about Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
In that I prefer to hear other people tell me their story. Mm-hmm. Like Jen is a huge Harry Potter fan. Like she knows everything. So whenever I have a question about Harry Potter, I don't look at the book. I don't watch the movies. I'm always like, hey, Jen, about this thing. And then she'll just answer for me. And I kind of feel the same way, like, with you about Lord of the Rings. I'm like, I could watch the movies or I could have Kevin explain it to me.
Well, I know you pretty well and can concise the information, which is something that the book definitely does not do. Tolkien has the vision, and he wrote exactly what he wanted to, much like a wizard arrives exactly when he wants to.
I don't know if I have a lot to talk about with the first one.
That's a fair point. Shall we move on?
Well, I think we should take a break, and we'll come back to the second one. And then I really want to save a lot of time so we'll probably make the second one kind of short, too. I really want to talk about the third one, all the things that are in the third one. That's the one I like.
For sure.
Return of the King. Yes.
If I didn't have to leave, I would just go off right now, boy.
If you had to summarize very quickly why you think it's the best one, why The Fellowship is your favorite.
I think some of the most important and touching character development happens in that first one. Some mm-hmm. of the more very beautiful parts of the landscape are in mm-hmm. the first. Because the last two are just very much, let's get the story going. It's very exciting. But just aesthetically, what I love about Lord of the Rings and some of the artwork and stuff like that is very much in that first one. And some of the fear, too.
Yeah.
Is you know, in the minds of Moria, not having seen many orcs yet, and, you know, the drums in the deep and stuff like that, just, that's kind of my favorite.
Oh, for somebody, my favorite movie trilogy is Back to the Future. I love them all. I mm-hmm. lump them together, love them all. If I have to break them apart, mm-hmm. two is my favorite, followed by one, and then three. And so there's always one that is the weaker. I feel that, for me personally, taking all three as a whole, I liked three the best, but I feel that it doesn't make the one I like the least that bad. Like, mm-hmm. like on a scale, they're all like, if you're on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like 10, 9.59. Like, there's not mm-hmm. there's not a lot of difference between them, but like, if you had to pick one, three is the one I'm picking.
I would agree in that. Picking between the trilogy is like trying to pick your children. Like, you like all of them, but if you're going to force me, you know, Billy's my favorite.
The biggest problem is that they're so interconnected, mm-hmm. but they also stand alone as individual films. Mm-hmm. You can just watch The Two Towers by itself mm-hmm. with no context and still have an enjoyable experience because of how well executed it is. Mm-hmm. But you get a much deeper, richer experience by watching all three films because that's the way they were designed to be. Mm-hmm. They sort of appeal to both of those worlds, and that's a wonderfully clever stroke from Peter Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yep.
How are we doing on time?
We're going to take a break.
Oh,
fantastic.
You would pick this.
I would. All right. You're listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez, in with Kevin Shoemaker and Isaac Hines, and we will be right back.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. they would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez in with
Kevin Shoemaker
and
Isaac Hines.
And now we're going to talk about the second one, but Isaac can't be here for this.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Yeah. So did you see the song I played there?
Yes.
Eye in the Sky.
Yeah. Terribly clever with these puns.
Right? Yeah.
Let's talk about Fire in the Sky. What do you think about aliens, guys?
So Isaac has to go. He's got to go to rehearsal. We recorded a radio commercial earlier, and now he's got to record a TV commercial.
Oh, my goodness.
He's going to be, because he is Robin Hood.
Right? Robin Rod.
So, unfortunately, yeah. So you'll hear him bow out, but we're having fun talking about Lord of the Rings.
The fellowship continues to just drop off.
Right. Does that make you Samwise and me Frodo?
I think in the experience of this exact situation, yes.
Yes. Yes. Well,
then I'm Pippin and I have to leave because I'm a fool.
Fool of a Took.
It has been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope
you
come back soon.
Oh, yeah. We'll have you on for something else. We'll discuss what your pop culture things are, and we'll have you on for that.
I'll put them all in a hat, and you can choose one.
There you go. Yeah. You can be like, this one. We're doing that. Yeah, like I said, next week we're actually doing Robin Hood. Maybe you can come in because we're going to have special guest Sam Fork, who is directing the show. So if she's
here... Does this
here,
mean I have to watch the Taron Egerton one that just came out?
We did. Oh, we did, and we'll talk about it. We did. We'll talk about it. Okay. So just make sure that you come with the director, because if she's here, then obviously there's no rehearsal going on. So you're good.
Yeah. I'll be there.
All right. So we'll see you next week.
All right.
All right. And for the rest of everyone, we're going to continue. Kevin and I are going to continue to talk about Lord of the Rings.
It's fitting that now we're talking about the Two Towers and there are only two of us.
Yes. Yes.
We have splintered off from the rest of the fellowship.
Okay, so you're gonna have to give me a recap of the because since we watched them one per day over the course of 3 days, a lot of the stuff kind of overlaps. Like it's hard for me to differentiate where Fellowship ended, Tower begins, Tower ends, Return of the King begins.
Sure.
So I'm gonna leave it up to you to kind of give me a recap, ask me questions, and then I will give you answers to these things.
So. In very brief, the first movie ends with Frodo and Sam separating from Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli, who after, spoiler warning, I guess, for movies that have been out for almost 20 years now, Boromir dies and Merry and Pippin have been taken by the Uruk-hai. Because Saruman wants the ring, and he knows that one of the hobbits has them. So the Uruk-hai kidnap Merry and Pippin.
So Sauron, take them. Sauron, right?
Saruman.
Saruman. Oh, the
wizard.
The wizard, okay.
And
the not cool Gandalf.
The not cool Gandalf. So Frodo and Sam head to Mordor, and then the first one ends. And then the second one begins with a sort of dream or vision that Frodo has of Gandalf falling off of the bridge and having a fight with the big fiery demon called the Balrog.
Okay.
And then it sort of picks up them.
Oh, that's right, because he'd already had, because Gandalf, we'd already lost Gandalf.
Yes.
At the end of the first one.
Roughly two-thirds of the way through the first one. And then it's them meeting Gollum, and it's Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli tracking the Uruk-hai and trying to find Merry and Pippin. And Merry and Pippin, they meet with Treebeard and convince the Ents to go and attack Isengard.
Right.
In revenge of the trees that Saruman's been cutting down to fuel his armies.
So if I remember right, what I liked about this one was Treebeard, because it's voiced by the same guy who is Gimli?
Yes, John Rhys-Davies.
Right.
Phenomenal actor. They did a lot of work, a lot of interesting, strange Foley techniques to try and get some of that wood resonance sound. They used a lot of, like, handmade wooden blocks with different pieces jutting out to it that they would play his voice through and add noises so that it sounded like what you might think a tree would talk like.
That's amazing.
The behind-the-scenes stuff is absolutely phenomenal.
High point of this is the comedy part that is Gimli and Aragorn. Aragorn. Mm-hmm. We're about the dwarf tossing.
That is
in the second one, correct?
Yes. That is definitely one of the comedic highlights.
I love that part.
And then
the very definite low point of this is Legolas.
Yes.
Surfing down the stairs.
I will admit to this day that even though in my heart of hearts it feels like something that would make Tolkien roll over in his grave at the mere mention of, it's a great action piece.
But it very much stands out.
Completely ridiculous.
Well, and it stands out in these movies because these movies I'm sure they have a lot of digital effects, right? Mm-hmm. Granted, they don't look like it because it looks like there's so many practical effects in this movie that everything has kind of a real feel. And all of a sudden he gets on this shield and surfs down the stairs and it feels more fake than anything else in the movie.
Which is hysterical because that was all practical.
Really?
It was all practical. I mean, he had, like, lines on him that were supporting
him.
And they were sort of, it was sort of a dolly effect that they were having him slide down with his feet just sort of attached to the shield, but really he's being supported by weights. But yeah, that was all practical.
Yeah, I would still say, though, that it feels out of place.
Yes, 100%. But
there's a couple of things that feel out of place in this trilogy. The one thing was those. I know they're not dragons, but they are winged creatures who look a lot like dragons.
Yes, they're not even given real names in the Tolkien fiction. They're just called the Fell Beasts, and they're like when the Ringwraiths, the guys in the black hoods in the first movie who were riding the horses and trying to grab Frodo. When they lose their horses, they sort of upgrade to these flying mounted things that,
right. Yeah,
like you said, look a lot like dragons. They're just technically not dragons.
Right, because I remember that in The Hobbit, there is the last dragon is Smaug.
Yes,
right?
Smaug is I don't think he's the last dragon, but one of an ancient breed, and we never really see any other dragons.
And so they were in there, and they were the first thing that kind of pulled me out of the realm of reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because up to this point, like for the first two movies, like granted there's orcs and stuff, but my brain while watching this automatically kind of bought in. These movies are done so well that I bought into the reality of everything there, mm-hmm. that orcs and fairies, what are the elves? Sorry, mm-hmm. not fairies, yep. Elves. Mm-hmm. But elves, orcs, they almost felt all human to where they could have just been mutated versions of humans.
Sure.
Where, like, something happened or, you know, sort of how different color skins even in our planet, you know, come from different areas. So mm-hmm. they may have adapted to their area in their world.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, the fail beasts, is that what they're called?
The fell beasts.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they come in and it totally broke my sense of reality.
Hobbits. For sure.
Hobbits, they're all small people. The elves are, you know, pointy ear people. Orcs are just super ugly people. Like, they're all people, but all of a sudden the fail beasts come in because they have horses. They have all these, you know, they have all these things that feel real. And all of a sudden these flying fail beasts come in and I'm like, oh, that just totally ruined my sense of reality.
I totally get it. And I put some thought into it afterwards. And part of the fun or part of the spirit of The Lord of the Rings is that it's not, while it's, there are a lot of pieces that are grounded in realism because Tolkien really wanted to make the world feel real.
Mm-hmm.
It's also mythic. It is obviously the, you know, sort of the grandfather of all fantasy literature. And it's those moments in particular that elevate it from just being a sort of medieval-style story where you have, like you said, mutated creatures that could all have a basis in reality and move it into actual, oh, this is a completely other world. There's wizards that cast spells and things that fly, and our main antagonist is a giant flaming eyeball on top of a tower in the middle of a desolate wasteland next to a volcano.
Oddly enough, the eyeball still didn't throw me out of the reality. These winged creatures. I'm just like...
Interesting.
Yeah. Like I think it says good towards the movie, towards the stories, mm-hmm. that was the thing that broke me.
Sure.
Because, I mean, we have superhero movies now that, you know, you can literally see humans doing all these superhero things, and you still don't buy it. Like, I went and saw Aquaman, and I'm just like, whatever. whatever.
So focusing in on the two towers in mm-hmm. particular, I think a special mention and a topic worthy of discussion is Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Gollum?
Amazing. Like, Andy Serkis does a phenomenal job, and it's hard to believe that this movie is as old as it is.
Right. I 100% agree with that.
It still looks better than some of the movies that I'm seeing today.
And
Aquaman again.
I don't know necessarily about what it would look like in, like, 1080p, 4K, you know, super high definition. But
well, ours was in 1080p because we were watching on Blu-ray mm-hmm. and on a 4K TV. So, I mean...
Oh, that was 4K.
Well, it's not a 4K resolution. It's 1080p on a 4K TV.
I see.
So it will kind of up-convert, but it's, I mean...
Okay, yeah. Well then, never mind then, because I thought that while you guys had a big technological setup, I wasn't sure how far it was.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, with the absolute highest rated stuff, I wasn't sure whether it would still look like it held up, but apparently it does.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy with that. Because Gollum, for me, like, you know, it got to the point where when I was younger and I got the extended editions, I would, you know, watch those movies at least once a year. And seeing Gollum as the years went by and still being able to go, that's some of the most impressive CGI I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It was super gratifying. And to see it again in this super high definition was still just like, he looks so, I mean, not real, obviously. There's too much of that uncanny valley sense for us to really go, oh, well, that's just actually a person. But it's so close to the mark.
I believe that he was there with them.
Yes, Andy Serkis was actually physically there on set, which is something that not every CGI character, you know, was they never intended to have a real physical human acting out stunts with the actors, but they were so amazed by Andy Serkis's portrayal because for his audition tape, he wasn't just doing a voice. He was, like, literally crouching on the ground, huddled up, and getting his physicality into the character mm-hmm. in order to get the right voice. And they were like, oh, this guy's got it.
Yeah.
Oh, we should bring him in.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. And it plays out really well. Like, and the part where he's having the conversations with himself was really cool, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't some, like, oh, let's have it float off and have him talking to himself. Like, it was... Right head, left head, right? You know, like, turn right, turn left.
Shot, reverse shot with the same character with split personalities. It's, to this day, people still talk about that scene because of how interesting it is. Just
That's super interesting.
Yeah. And another point about this film in particular, the Battle of Helm's Deep, where all of the, you know, the main characters, Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli, they're with... The king of the horse lords, you know, mm-hmm. Theoden, and they're fighting off the army that Saruman sends to them. That battle is really kind of a masterpiece because we keep breaking away from it over and over and over again. And if you count it up, it's something like 24 different cuts or something for that battle, or 24 shots or scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Scenes, I think, is the appropriate one for that battle, and it all. It could be so easy to be a movie or a battle that's just in the dark with the rain and get lost in the confusion and totally not be able to know what's going on. But it's shot so impressively that I, to this day, when I watch it, I'm fascinated at how they managed to pull off something so sort of big and, mm-hmm. and complex looking and made it still visually stunning and watchable. for just the regular Joe to just know what's going on, even as the battle's progressing over the course of like an hour.
Yeah, no, it is super impressive. And but we're going to take a break so we can talk about the third one with the remainder of our time.
All right.
You're listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez, and we will be right back.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on Them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about Them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Kevin Shoemaker.
And this song is Take the Long Way Home by Supertramp.
Yeah, that sounds appropriate.
Because it took them a while to get to their destination, didn't they? We're talking about the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and we're going to talk now about my favorite one of the trilogy, which is Return of the King.
Correct.
Yeah, I personally enjoyed this one.
Yeah, what about it do you like so much? Because we've talked about that you like it a lot, and I really want to get your opinion on what about this one made it your favorite.
I felt that it had the most action in it. Like, there was more things happening. Mm-hmm. The first two felt like a lot of exposition to tell you where we're going, which is the whole point is to get rid of that ring. Mm-hmm. And it I think it's because the movie itself is the payoff for its entire story.
I would absolutely agree with that. The third movie is all of the payoffs for all of the stories, and that's why it has like 115 different endings.
Yeah.
At least that can be what it feels like. And the fact that they managed to make a movie that had so much going on and so much that needed resolving and actually resolve it is really impressive. And I also like it a lot, mostly because I think it just has some of the strongest overall moments of the entire franchise. You know, nothing will ever affect me more than Theoden's speech before they ride into the big battle to save Gondor. And, you know, it's where Sam, who, you know, is your favorite character.
Absolutely.
And is arguably one of the best characters of the whole series.
Absolutely.
Has his strongest moments. You know, I can't carry the ring for you, but I can carry you. And he literally picks up Frodo and crawls up the mountain with him.
Yeah.
It's such a strong ending for such an enormously moving and fantastic story, and the fact that they managed to more or less nail it is a miracle.
Yeah.
One
of my favorite moments.
Oh, as, goodness.
So the most heartbreaking, the most make you want to, you know, blame dust in the air for the tears in your eyes is definitely the part where Aragorn. I'll get it. It's that R. It's
I
like,
know.
It's it, like corn.
It,
I get it.
It does not help that there's another story that has a character named Aragorn.
Yeah. So Aragorn becomes king.
Yes.
And everyone bows to him, including the four hobbits. And he says, you do not bow to anyone. And then he bows to them. And I'm just like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's an incredibly powerful thing, you know, and it's definitely sort of out of left field to see that. And of course, as soon as the king bows, everyone else is going to bow because you're obviously going to pay respect to the person who your king bows to.
He is the king and he bowed to them and you're just like, is that in the book?
I don't remember exactly.
If it's not, I don't mind that change because, dear Lord, that is a powerful moment.
No, I 100% agree with you. It's definitely befitting for those characters that they get that sort of resolution.
Okay, so my favorite scene is also in this movie.
Yes.
And my favorite scene is not necessarily going to be an agreeable why it's my favorite scene, but I love the part where Frodo wakes up in that bed and everything is fine. Because whenever they're in that land of the elves, which is called what? I don't know.
So that particular place is Elrond's home, and that's called Rivendell.
Yeah. So when they're in... And Riverdale is—I know it's Rivendale. Riverdale is another show, and so it's all these words that are very similar.
I know.
But in Rivendale, it's very heaven-like. The lighting there, so you keep thinking that whenever they're there, it's a dream sequence.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't help that he wakes up. And Gandalf is standing over him, and it is one of the weirdest interactions I've ever seen, especially in this trilogy, but in most movies, it's up there where he's like slow motion laughing, like ha ha ha, and you're just like, and then everyone comes in sitcom style.
The whole thing is so bizarre because it does. The reuniting of all these characters is an important moment, and the decision to play that with very ethereal lighting, which is appropriate for Rivendell.
Sure.
But then also all in slow-mo. And there's something just remarkably hilarious about watching people express joy in slow motion.
It's like a sitcom opening like credits where it's like person comes to the door and they like smile at the camera almost.
Yeah.
And the camera is obviously Frodo, but like you're seeing it from that perspective. So mm-hmm. it's them coming through looking pretty much at the camera
yeah.
and giving some weird like laugh and smile and ha ha ha. And you're just like, this is so surreal.
It definitely does stick out, and you do kind of have to be overlooking it to not notice how absurd
it
is.
I loved it. I think the fact that it was so absurd is why I loved it so much.
It's definitely the single goofiest part of the entire trilogy.
But it's like, and Gandalf felt very much like almost like a video game character or something with his ha, ha, ha. Like, you're just waiting for something to come at him, and then you, like, swats it, like, ha, ha, ha. That's not going to happen. Ha, ha. You're just like, what is going on here? I love it so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then the ghosts in the third one, ghost army, was a really cool-looking effect, but it was, mm-hmm. like, out of left field. There's a lot of things in this that you're not expecting, and all of a sudden it shows up, and you're just like, all right, I'm along for the ride.
Yeah. It's to say that the ghosts are not, like, almost a level of Deus Ex Machina, just like the sudden thing that we pull out of our tuchus in order to save the day. That it's definitely what it's presented like. And it's been a while since I've actually picked up the books, and I don't remember the exact way that the Army of the Dead is brought up, but it's definitely sort of this is our dire hour of need, and we're going to go barter with the souls of the dead in order to reclaim or to stop the evil invading force. And it definitely just kind of comes out of left field in the movies, because it's like, yeah, we're getting our troops together and we're going to go save Gondor. And then, oh, hey, there's a mountain pass. If we go there, we can talk to the dead people. What?
Wait, what?
All right, we're going to go talk to the dead people. All right, and then the dead people are going to help us out. And then it's just an army of ghosts.
Right, yeah. There's so many weird things about this.
I don't think anyone who starts reading or watching these movies is going to predict that there's going to be a ghost army that, like, mass murders a bunch of giant elephants. I don't think anyone would ever come up with that as an idea. But that's exactly what happens in this movie.
Yeah, and so there's so many weird things, like, and not weird in a bad way, but, like, it left field stuff. And I'm just like, okay.
Yep. And in spite of those bizarre moments and the sort of weirdness of it all comes together in a way that is at least somewhat believable. And it the whole thing is just so masterfully done.
Yeah.
And you can tell in just about every single frame how much everyone cared about making that product.
We've got about 2 minutes, and I definitely want to talk about I'm going to say it. It's Hobbit suicide.
Yeah, the ending.
Right? Like, that's technically what it, like, in, by all accounts, it's technically what it is.
The weird thing about the elves is that they're kind of like angels in the Tolkien mythos. There's a lot of different forms of angels. Like, fun fact, Gandalf is basically an angel.
Okay.
The Balrog, the demon thing, basically an evil angel. Like, there's a whole bunch of analogs that we could make here, but so the elves have a place where, because they're immortal, they don't physically die. They just get to a point where they return to heaven, and that heaven in Middle-earth is called Valinor. So when the elves are leaving the world, they return to this mythical land called Valinor. And yeah, it's definitely comes across like the PC way of portraying.
Well, it's very PTSD, like Frodo's been through a lot of stuff.
He saved the Shire, but he could not save it for himself.
Yeah, and so he's like, all right, I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
And that's technically Hobbit suicide.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. All right, so, that's pretty much the best we could do to fit everything into an hour, but that's kind of the high points. So I like the third one. I liked it for the weird bedroom scene.
That was way worse.
I was emotionally touched by the king bowing to the hobbits, suicide.
You bow to Noah.
The ghost. Yeah, all of that. All of that was great. So that for me is where it all is.
And I just love the whole thing.
Yeah. So I'm glad I did that. And that is it for our show. So thank you, Kevin, for being here. We'll have you on again, as always. And I did it, guys. I watched Lord of the Rings.
Yay!
So catch us next time. We will be here next week, same time, same place. And we will be discussing the films of Robin Hood.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Huzzah indeed. Huzzah. All right. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind. For Jen Gomez, I'm Chris Gomez, and that's Kevin Shoemaker. Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Now, hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry, and they take things slow. They don't like to travel away from home. They just like to eat.
KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.